y'all. It's been a beautiful week, and right now it's topped off by a gorgeous weekend. My name is Roger Metz, and you're listening to Woods and Water South Carolina on 94.5 WGTK. I want you to call into the show and tell us about something you did outside this week. Did you go fishing, hiking, turkey hunting, canoeing? Whatever you did, I want you to hear about it. The numbers are 235-9405 in the Greenville area and 877-235-9405 if you're somewhere else. I have a confession to make, and normally that doesn't sound too good on the radio, but it's nothing that serious. But I love watching the Masters, or rather listening to it. Now, just to be clear, I have never played a round of regulation golf in my life. It's something I'm kind of proud of. I played a lot of par three as a teenager in Greer at Mr. Dill's par three course there on Wade Hampton. And I've always thought of real golf. I think I heard this from a golfer one time, as a wonderful walk in the woods ruined by a little white ball. But can you think of anything on TV that better represents springtime in the South than the Masters? I mean, you got the tall trees, and I hated to hear, I tuned in a little bit yesterday, I hated to hear yesterday that the Eisenhower tree, wherever that, it was one of the fairways, didn't make it through an ice storm this year. The flowers, the magnolias, the full bloom. And since it's golf, it's really quiet, and you can actually hear the birds and the wind as it rolls through the trees. I mean, there's just nothing that says spring in the South like the Masters. And every year I wait for that announcement. Oh, the Masters is coming up, because I know shortly after the Masters, I have some freedom. And I did a little freedom thing yesterday, and I'm doing some freedom thing this afternoon after the show. And boy, let me tell you what, after Tuesday, it is wide open. But that's just my life. I love it when the Masters rolls around. I know it's a time. And if I can't be outside, at least I can watch it on TV. Let's get to the calendar events today. Just a short reminder, the Fly Fishing Film Tour, it will be in Asheville this Thursday night, April 17th, 7 to 9 o'clock. There's actually you can get there as early as 5 o'clock. I called Hunter Banks, this morning in Asheville and asked them if they had tickets. They still have tickets. They're $15. If you want to go, the number to the shop is 828-252-3005. That's $15. It's a good show. I know I'll be there, and there's a couple of tickets I gave away earlier. I hope to meet that gentleman there too. If you still want to do that this week, that's coming up real early. You need to get that on the calendar. The University of South Carolina bass fishing, the collegiate bass fishing team is going to have their second annual fundraising tournament, April the 22nd, Lake Wylie, Buster Boyd Bridge Landing. Now, I talked to Geddes Brannon this morning on the phone. He is the tournament director. He's one of the fishermen. He's a college kid. I met him at the Palmetto Sportsman's Classic a few weeks ago. I talked to him. He will be in the show, on the show, whether he's going to be here in the studio or on the air next Saturday. If you're interested in fishing this tournament, there's all the information you need. You can get off of Facebook, or you can call him directly, 864-490-7864. The email address is sofish@mailbox.sc.edu. Again, that's sofish@mailbox.sc.edu. And that's if you want to participate in the tournament, Lake Wylie. There's a 90% payback, and the team gets 10%, which is a fair deal. Hopefully I get to ride around with these guys at some point. Be interesting to talk to them a little more. The whole part of the team was there at the Sportsman's Classic, and I got to talk to them. Seemed like real nice kids. He'll be here next week, and we'll find out more about him. Now, right here in town, Sunrift Adventures. And this is going to go on throughout the summer. They do these demos pretty much every Wednesday at one place or the other. Coming up this week, which would be April the 16th, Wednesday, they've got their Paris Mountain boat demo. Then on the 23rd, which is the next Wednesday, they have their Saluda River boat demo. Now, the Paris Mountain, of course, is flat water, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., same for the Saluda River. But now on the Saluda River, they let you do the Class 1 and 2 rapids. Three boats. There is a fee. It's $25. But if you're trying to invest in a $1,200 or $1,500 kayak, it's awfully cheap price to pay to get a little bit of experience with that boat. So that's Sunrift Adventures. You can call them at the shop, 834-3019. Now, I know this is a little bit out of the realm of the outdoors, but Tuesday night, April 15th, there is going to be a total lunar eclipse. And I have to go back to my childhood. My dad loved watching the stars and that sort of thing. I can remember as a kid sitting out cold in lawn chairs with quilts over us watching meteor showers. When Halley's Comet came through, there were many mornings I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go somewhere in some field to watch Halley's Comet. And it's been one of those things that I have some really fond memories of doing with my family. And it's something that you can do pretty much from your own backyard, especially with a total lunar eclipse. It starts at 1:20 a.m. Now, that's a bad thing because everybody's got to be up early. But it's a good thing because I know most of Greenville County is on spring break this week. So there's an opportunity to do something. This one's going to be really, it's going to be called a blood moon. And the blood color comes from just the distortion of the sun's light coming through the Earth's atmosphere. The dust in the atmosphere gives it that reddish appearance. The interesting about this one is Mars will be right next to the moon. So you get to see the lunar eclipse, and Mars is going to be really bright at this time. So again, that's Tuesday night, starts about 1:20 a.m. in the morning. You know, might be something you want to get up and see. There's also going to be some meteor showers coming up that I'll keep you informed. And that's really kind of outside outdoors, but it's there again. Get out and do something with the family, and everybody will remember those. It's those small things you remember as you grow up. Moving on, Musgrove Mill Revolutionary War Encampment Weekend. It's coming up April 26th and 27th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. That's in Clinton. That's just right down the road here. I mean, $3 to get in for adults, $1.50 for seniors, and kids under 15 are free. They're going to have, of course, the military reenactments, interpretive talks, demonstrations, exhibits, food, children's games, art. It's what life would have been like during the Revolutionary War. A great family thing to get out and go do. I wanted to mention also one more time the upcoming nature and photography workshop. That's going to be held down at Santee State Park. Registration deadline is April 20th. I want to talk about it one more time in case you're interested in that or didn't hear it the first time. It's a 3-day event. You're going to be guided. They do want you to bring your own cameras and that sort of thing, telephoto lens, laptop if you have one, and rain gear for the boat ride. But that is going to be something that would be really fun. I wish that I could go to something like that and learn how to take better pictures. Well, maybe I'll get to it at some point during my life. I know the Greenville Tech has a photography class they offer. I'll try to get there one day, but this will be a really fun one to go to. Check the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources webpage. They stocked 9,499 trout last week in the Chattooga River, the Chaga River, the Little East Otoe, and the South Saluda. Now, I kidnapped a blonde 10-year-old yesterday afternoon from her schoolwork and fit in between a sleepover, and we went hiking and fishing yesterday. I'll cover that more. But we were on the South Saluda, and we caught some of those 9,499 trout. We probably caught 18 of them, and those 18 are still there for everybody else who wants to go up there and get them. And in North Carolina, this is the first time they've stocked this spring, and the list of places they stocked is 3 pages long. You can find this information on either one of the department's websites. And as a suggestion from a family member, I will be posting the calendar of events on my Facebook page after every show. Now, it might not be this afternoon, it may be tomorrow, but you can go to my Facebook page, www.facebook.com/woodsandwatersc. I'll do a calendar events update for the show that just took place, and you'll also be able to see the photo blogs of what we did during the week. So encourage you to go there. Be back after the break. Woods and Water, South Carolina. The numbers for you to call in are 235-9405 in the area, and if you're outside, it's 877-235-9405. I wanted to plug a sponsor of the show, GS Mechanical in Greer, South Carolina. Don't get hung out there this summer. I know it's 82 degrees out there today. I had all, and practically everybody I passed on the road had their windows down, and I know my wife had the windows of the house up and all. But don't get hung out this summer with air conditioning problems. It's as simple as calling them, talking to Michelle or Tim at GS Mechanical, 848-3562, and get them to schedule a spring checkup. It's as easy as that. So a lot of times they can diagnose problems before they happen, prevent you from being hot, angry, and out of a lot of money. They take care of my system for the last 11 years, and I have had nothing but good things to say about them. Just one of those things, guys. Don't be going hunting and fishing and that sort of thing, and your wife being at home sweating. It's not a good situation. I didn't get to it the last segment, but last night I was sitting out on the back porch enjoying the new view now that all the pine trees in the backyard are gone, and the ambulance leaves the fire department down the road a little ways, and sure enough, back there on the creek bottom behind the house, the coyotes. They were talking to the ambulance sirens, and I haven't heard them for a while, but they're still back there, and it reminded me that I probably need to go to the farm and try to do a little bit of coyote hunting just to see if they're still around. I didn't hear them all of last season. But if you are, like me, thinking about going, trying to do a little varmint hunting, coyotes, hogs at night, you do need to register with the South Carolina Department of Revenue. South Carolina Department of Revenue, you can tell where my mind is today. The South Carolina Department of Natural Resources. It's free. It's just a one-time per season, per property, and they just want to know where you are, make sure you have a hunting license, and that sort of thing, so that when a shots ring out and the neighbors call, DNR can say, oh, wait a minute, those guys are just doing a little predator control, nothing to get excited about. So just for your information, do that, save everybody a lot of trouble, keep the police from showing up at your doorstep at 1 o'clock in the morning. Next on the list is the fishing is just getting better. I know this week has been really nice. I looked at the forecast for next week, and it gets a little rainy Monday, Tuesday, then a little cooler, mid to lower 60s and upper 60s by the weekend. But the fishing is really getting good. Lots of reports of bass, crappie, redfish and trout down at the coast. And speaking of, we have Adam, who is the warden at Lake Robinson, on the air. Adam, are you there?
I am, Roger.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Hot.
It's hot. It's not hot yet, Adam.
It's warm.
It's warm. I rode by the lake this morning on the way in, and it was packed.
It has been that way all day, yeah.
Well, that's a great thing. I mean, there were lots of boat trailers and all sitting in the parking lot, but there were a lot of families out on the lawn taking advantage of the nice weather and all.
All the shelters have rented this weekend. You know, it's nice weather. It's that time of year, picnics and reunions and gatherings, church functions. Yeah, they're doing it all. We had a tournament today up here.
Did you?
Yeah, they just weighed in at 3 o'clock, actually.
And who was the tournament through?
It is, it's a local bass club, the Tiger River, Bass Club.
Great.
And, they fish here every third Saturday. Anybody is, available to fish it. It's $20, I believe, per person in the boat. And, you just show up on that Saturday morning. I believe they fish 7 to 3 on Saturday morning to Saturday afternoon.
Well, there you go, folks, right there on the air. If you want a bass fish, you have a small John boat with a less than 9.9 horsepower motor.
Yeah, it's 18 foot max on the boat,
okay.
10 horsepower max on the motor.
Great. Now, Adam, you work for Greer Commission of Public Works?
That's correct.
Okay. Because you walk around in a green uniform, and sometimes I wonder if you work for Department of Natural Resources or them. But they give you the green uniform too, huh?
Well, we are kind of a hybrid. We work for Commission of Public Works for Greer. They own and operate the lakes here. This is the drinking water for Greer.
Okay.
And but we're deputy law enforcement officers through DNR. So we're our actual law enforcement our law enforcement commission is through Department of Natural Resources.
Okay. And I want to say I appreciate you helping us out with the deer problem the other night.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
I hate to see him do that. What is that, four or five that have been hit right there on 101 in the last month or two?
Yeah, I actually just went to one earlier today off of Jug Factory and Goodjoin Road that was hit by a car.
Oh, well, I guess it happens every year.
Yes, sir.
Well, tell us, I passed by the lake early in the week, and it was the color of mud, but it looked like it was really clearing up today. How's the fishing been? What are people catching?
The upper end is still a little stained. Main body of the water down here towards the bottom end is clear. The bass are biting so-so. That tournament, they're weighing, and I think the winning stack for five fish was 11.2 pounds.
Ooh, kind of small.
Big fish was 5.2.
Okay.
Which, compared to last month, is, you know, far cry. They were catching over 25-pound sacks and, you know, 8-plus-pound big fish. So it's been tough, I guess, this last couple days here. Crappie are kind of starting to come on, but not really anything to run home and grab your buckets. But, you know, with this warmer weather, I'm sure it'll be turned on very shortly. So.
And both lakes fishing about the same, Cunningham and Robinson?
Roughly, yeah. They pretty much turn on right around the same time. Cunningham's much shallower, so it may actually start a little sooner. But, you know, being, you know, a mile and a half apart and connected, they pretty much, you see the same.
Ah, gotcha. Well, look, I really appreciate you calling in.
Yes, sir.
We will check back with you later on during the year.
All right, you have
and,
a good day, sir.
Give Chuck some grief for me.
I always do.
Thanks, Adam.
All right, thank you.
All righty, bye-bye. That was Adam from Lake Robinson. He's the warden, or one of the wardens up there. A great little place to go fish if you got a small boat, small motor. They have the picnic shelters at Lake Robinson and Cunningham. Those are for rent. In the springtime, it's really nice up there. And in the fall, it's even better because you're looking out over Lake Robinson. You got the mountains above you and all the leaves and all. If you've never been up there, it's a short ride out to Greer, north on Highway 101. You get up above to O'Neill, you'll see the little hot dog store in the forks of the road. You take a left on Maysbridge Road, run down there. It comes up behind the dam, take a right, and there's Lake Robinson. If you're coming up 101 and want to go to Lake Cunningham, you make a right there at the Lake Cunningham Fire Department, and there's a dock there you can go out on the water and fish off of. And it's Commission of Public Works, and those guys that run that thing are some really nice people. If you have questions, more than happy to answer them. Like I was saying before, lots of good reports from bass and crappie. I guess after 3 inches of rain, it's going to mess ours up a little bit more. It's going to take them a little longer to turn on again, but the redfish and trout down at the coast are just... In fact, I'm on the outs with a lot of people who I really like, but they keep posting and sending me pictures of all the fish they're catching, knowing full well there's nothing I can do about it for a while. But that wait's almost over. I'm going to get down there, and I'm going to catch some for myself. There's not a whole lot of dolphin showing up yet. I saw a couple on reports this morning, but there was a 100-pound wahoo caught on the ledge out of Charleston yesterday. Now, that's a big fish. My best wahoo is 64 pounds, and I had a hard time holding them because they're so long, they spread out on you. I can't imagine 36 more pounds. I mean, that's a grown wahoo. It's starting to heat up. I can't wait. When the dolphin bites really gets going, I'll be offshore a couple of times. I'll bring back some reports and some fish, but those fish are for me, not for you. You can go get your own. Trout stocking, we covered that. The next thing on the list is tiger sharks. There's an article I found out of the Island Packet out of Beaufort Gazette, and they're talking about scientists tracking tiger sharks in Port Royal Sound. And it says, and they got a picture here of an 800-pound tiger shark that was caught and released in Port Royal Sound aboard the Hilton Head Island-based charter boat Outcast. That's a big shark. This is going to be in conjunction with the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources and OSEARCH. Now, if you don't know who OSEARCH is, it's OCEARCH. They are a nonprofit organization that's been going around the world tagging great whites. And it's really cool because you've probably seen them on TV. I forget what channel they come on, but they hook these sharks with these big hooks and chains and balls, and they bring them onto a lift beside the boat, and they lift them up, and they identify, you know, male, female, try to age them. They measure them. And one of my favorite is Mary Lee. Now, Mary Lee likes the southeastern coast. Now, Mary Lee is 3,500 pounds. She's 16 feet long. It's a great white. And last year, for some reason, and I don't know exactly how accurate these pings are, but she pinged in one of my favorite trout creeks up the Wando River last year. Now, I know that creek is not big enough to have a 3,500-pound, 16-foot great white on it. At least it better not be, or I'm going to find a shallower creek to go trout fishing in. But she was in Charleston Harbor, but they love it, and you will, as you can track the sharks through OSearch, you will be able to do the same thing for these tiger sharks. But they believe that Port Royal Sound has the largest concentration of sharks on the East Coast, and they're hoping to know why. Now, that doesn't mean you can't go get in the water. Just be careful. Be observant. But it's really neat. Now, we've been offshore. We've seen a lot of hammerheads and that sort of thing. When the water clears up, you really see what's swimming with you. Hammerheads, some big great whites have been off the coast of Charleston. If you go on the Gulf Coast, of course, the water's a lot clearer. And when you have a boat like mine with a platform over the engine, you can stand up there and get a little more angle in the water. You really see what's out there. But this is going to be really something. If you want to interest a child, and I guess maybe because I'm more of a child than an adult at heart, I enjoy this. I keep up with where Mary Lee is, that sort of thing, from time to time. And it's always interesting to go to the OSearch Facebook page and read the reports of what they've caught and where these fish are. But this would be really something because these tiger sharks stay right here. They're going to catch them, and they have to catch them just like anything else. And it's funny in here, this, you're going to use chunks of barracuda or bonita. And he said, we often use other shark meat. And this is Mr. Fraser, who's part of this. He said, it's a shark eat shark world out there. But anyway, just something interesting that's going to be taking place right here in South Carolina. That's going to, you know, in conjunction with a national organization like OSearch, just be a really neat thing. If you want your kids to do something over the summer, track some of these sharks and keep up with what's going on. Some of you may have known last fall, Department of Natural Resources, and this is dated November the 20th, 2013, they got a special permission from U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to do a double-crested cormorant removal program on Santee Cooper Lakes. Now, they had several trainings. Well, they had, I think at first they had two training sessions. They had to add a training session because the population of cormorants on the lower lakes between, let's see if I can find this again. Well, between 2008 and 2012, the population went from 6,000 cormorants to 25,000 cormorants. Now, cormorant's not a game bird, but they were eating 8 fish a day. So they had some training seminars, gave out some tags to people to go get rid of some of these, and they eliminated more than 11,000 of the cormorants. They're looking at doing it again. I know there's been some discussion about the blue catfish fishery on the lower lakes. Don't think this has anything to do with them, but at 8 fish a day, and even the ones that weren't eating, they said they had done studies, and the harassment that the cormorants were doing to adult fish was taking almost as much of an impact as the ones they were eating for food. Hear the music coming up. It means a break. When we come back, we'll move on to some other subjects. Call in if you want. I'll give you the numbers the other side. Welcome back. You're listening to Woods and Water, South Carolina on 94.5 WGTK. If you want to call in the show, the number's 235-9405 if you're in the Greenville area and 877-235-9405 if you're outside the area. As I mentioned earlier, I kidnapped a 10-year-old blonde yesterday and took her off to the woods. Now, I didn't have to kidnap anybody. I used to have a Labrador retriever named Allie. And she could hear everything that ever went on in our house. And any time I pulled out a fishing rod, a boot, rattled a duck call on the wall, I mean, she was there. And that's this 10-year-old blonde I'm talking about. So you don't really have to kidnap her. You just have to make sure she has clothes to go. And she's ready. We went yesterday, and I'm going to try to do this maybe not for every show, but for the majority of them, as long as this lasts, go somewhere, do something, and then come back and tell you, look, this is exactly what you need to do, where you need to go, what it takes, so you can go ahead and do it without having to do a lot of research. And this little trip we took yesterday, it's up on the Facebook page. That's www.facebook.com/woodsandwatersc. You'll find the pictures there. There's 30-something pictures and the little descriptions, and so you can know what you're looking for when you get there. So yesterday we went up and did a little hiking in the Ashmore Heritage Preserve. Now that's up off Highway 11. It's directly behind the old Camp Spearhead and adjacent to the Mountain Bridge Wilderness Area. And it was the dream of the late Russell Ashmore Sr. that his property, now that's 1,125 acres of the Ashmore Heritage Preserve, be donated and used for hiking, fishing, viewing, and he got his wish. After he died, his children followed his dream and sold the property to the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources Heritage Trust Program in the late 80s. There are trails there. There is a lake there. There are waterfalls there. There's a couple of rare plants, and I wouldn't know them if they bit me. Didn't see any snakes yesterday. Saw one lizard. Didn't see any black bears. This is the time of the year when black bears are starting to move around. So if you're doing these things, you know, be aware of your black bears. But there's deer, turkey, squirrels. So there's rough grouse there. All kinds of birds. The trails are well marked. I was really surprised and delighted that it was as well marked as it was. But we went up. It took us maybe 30 minutes to get there. Beware if you go up there. They are doing some road construction on Highway 276 coming out of Marietta right there at the end. I didn't go that way. I went Highway 11. But we were stopped in road construction right there at 11 and 276 yesterday. So allow a little extra time there if you want to go up and do any of this stuff. But of course we went up, and one of the first places we had to stop was the Hot Bowl Peanut Stand at the corner of 11 and 276. So if you go there, Peanut Queen, $4, and we got probably a 32-ounce cup of boiled peanuts. And, you know, as long as I've been going up there, I've never gotten a bad batch of peanuts from this lady. Never too salty, never scorched. If you like boiled peanuts, even if you don't want to go up there and go hiking, it's worth the drive just to get some peanuts. So we stopped there. We went, of course, the infamous F-Mart, got a couple of drinks. You know, world famous barbecue and hot dogs. I'm a hot dog junkie. I'll probably stop one of these days and get a hot dog from there. But to get to this Ashmore Heritage Preserve, you go right through Echo Valley, on up past the F Mart, and look for Persimmon Ridge Road. It's really a sharp right-hand turn off of 11. Before you get to all the pull-offs along the Saluda River, it's a right-hand turn. You go up, it climbs up to the ridge and runs there. It goes from pavement to gravel. And not too far after it turns to gravel, you will see some blaze marks on the tree, a couple of signs, the yellow game management area signs. And that's where we park. There's really no parking area. There might be a little one up above that I just saw today that I didn't drive up to yesterday. But the shoulders of the roads are more than wide enough to get your car off the road without falling off the edge. So we just pulled off. We took the first trail, which is actually not the main trail. It connects with the trail coming up from Camp Spearhead and then runs into the other trails. But it was a nice little, just a little drop off and down to the trailhead. Very nice, maintained. All the trees had been cut away. I noticed closer up to the lake there was a boggy area or whatever, and somebody had gone up there and kind of cleaned it off and given it a little trough to run through, seep out where it wouldn't. I wouldn't wear white tennis shoes up there. because this is South Carolina and this is red clay, but, you know, you don't have to have $200 hiking boots to do this little hike. We probably didn't walk 25 or 30 minutes going in and that far coming out, but it was just a really nice little hike. Trails, like I said, there's a lot of trails up there. It's well marked Heritage Preserve Wildlife Management Area. Those are DNR signs. There's an Ashmore Heritage Preserve sign noting the boundaries. When you get into it, there are yellow and purple blaze marks on the trees, and you won't have to guess where the paths are. The paths are very well worn, and they just go off through the woods. There's one intersection actually at the gate where you probably should park if you go up there. It's what, 1, 2, 3, 4 trails come together. If you go a little northwest on the trail, that trail, I believe, goes up to the falls on the West Fork Creek. The trail, well, you would have walked down the trail that we walked out on. If you take the right-hand trail, that takes you to Lake, and I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce this. It's Watako, W-A-T-T-A-C-O. But the trail, it's an easy trail by hiking standards, a little up and down. Right now, there's a lot of flowers, a lot of, spring violets, daisies, and of course the dogwoods are blooming. Otherwise, the trees are starting to get a little leaf on them, but it's deceptively hot yesterday. I started sweating not too far, and I don't know if that's from being out of shape or just the exertion. But anyway, it was a good time. Like I said, we did it in half an hour in, half an hour back. If you wanted to pack in a lunch and eat lunch there at the lake, I was trying to figure out, and I couldn't tell exactly, but it looks like you can fish in the lake. The trail brings you up right there at the dam, and you have to cross the creek, the West Fork Creek, and there's a nice bridge there for you. You come up to the dam, and you're on the west side of the dam. And as you walk out on the dam, you're looking out across the lake, and there's some rock cliffs above you, rock faces above you, and a waterfall. This is one of those places, yes, it's a good spring hike, something to get started walking and get a little bit into shape. But, boy, I tell you, when the fall leaf season comes around, I'll be up there again. I can imagine some of the pictures you would take, because all these hardwoods with a mix of pine in it against that ridge behind you, it would just be really, really nice. Turned around and came out. We came out on another trail that led up the road, and I think there are maybe 3-4 houses on Persimmon Ridge Road, and a truck comes up the gravel. I looked at the truck. I said, it looks vaguely familiar, and as it got closer, wouldn't you know, of the 3 houses that live up there, I would be walking down the road when I met one of the guys that I knew lives up there. And he was telling me that it's a great area. The Ashmore Preserve is on the lower end, but above that is the Mountain Bridge Wilderness Area. And you can actually go up that area and connect with some of the other trails. I don't know if it's the Foothills Trail, but they go up over a ridge and drop over. That might be for a little later on after I get a little more in shape this summer. We got back in the car, came down the road, hopped on 11, went just, I don't know, a quarter of a mile, and you're at the South Saluda River. Now, I just gave you the trout stocking report for South Carolina, and the South Saluda is one of those rivers they stocked, and they stock it with anywhere from, you know, 8-inch fish up to 16, 17-inch fish, and it's a put-and-take fishery. And what that means is Department of Natural Resources raises these fish right there at the Walhalla Fish Hatchery. They bring them down, truck them down, they dump them in the river, and they want you to go up there and fish for them and take them home and introduce them to the fry pan. That's the whole reason they do this stocking, because the South Saluda will not support the water temperatures in the summers. Gets too warm to keep those trout alive, and it's a put-and-take fishery. They put them, we take them, and it was very easy. You know, this is not one of my fly fishing streams. If I want to go fly fishing, I'll go up to the mountains, Chaga, Chattooga, on up into North Carolina. So it's not your typical fly fishing river, but I was amazed. Trout Unlimited went in there several years ago and put in rock, I wouldn't call them steps maybe, but at intervals along the river, there are lots of rocks in there, creating deep holes and runs and that sort of thing. And surprisingly, it was a lot like trout fishing in the mountains. I mean, the same type of water I look for there, I found down here. So I'll talk a little bit more about that on the other side. But like I said, it didn't take us, I think we left about 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon. She had to be at a sleepover yesterday afternoon. I got her home about 5 o'clock. So in 3 hours, I mean, you could do that. Hey, especially since we're on spring break this week, you could do that in the afternoon, morning, do the hike. Maybe that's all you want to do. Maybe y'all want to go fishing. That's the only thing, but it's there. It's close. The water was a little chilly. That didn't deter them from getting in. I'll talk a little bit more about the fishing on the other side. Stay with me. Be back in a minute. Continuing on with our little trip we had yesterday, Ashmore Heritage Preserve, and then right across the street to the South Saluda River, fishing with kids. Fishing with kids is about action, and that means catching fish. And when you have a put-and-take fishery like this, that's what it's all about. It's about catching. The possession take-home limit is 5 per person up there. Yes, there are other people there. I mean, you're not going to park along the side of the road, walk 25 yards and start fishing and not have other people around you. But it doesn't matter. There are enough fish in there to go around. You know, if you're too close to somebody close to the road, well, you can cross the creek, or there's trails running all up through there. You know, go to the next pool, go to the next run. That's all private property through there. There are signs up there telling you that. But at the same time, it's private property. They are allowing you to come in and fish. So take care of it. Don't leave your trash laying around. What you take in, take out. And we'll continue to have areas like this where you can go. But like I said, taking a kid fishing, it's all about catching fish, and you will catch fish. I mean, we caught, 15, 16, lost several more, and we weren't there more than about an hour. And yes, we caught some of the little 8-9 inch stockers. We caught some nice browns. 12, 13, 14 inches. And of course, to a kid, that's just, when you're not having to cast 50 feet, I mean, the longest cast is maybe 15 feet, on light tackle. It's fun. And of course, the current adds to it. We used I'll tell you exactly what we had. We used a Joe's fly, kind of a green body with a little tinsel woven in for flash. I had a ultralight spinning reel. 5 foot rod, 4 pound test line, but you can go to Walmart, get a $25 Zebco, and they do have these Joe's flies, or if you have, Panther Martins or anything like that, those will work too. Shoot, if you just want to use worms and corn, I was just being a little sterile by not having to go into the worms thing because some people don't like them. That's really all you need, maybe except for a net, towels and a change of clothes, because yesterday I didn't have a towel. And since I don't have waders for this little one, we were wet. It was funny watching her walk and the water coming out the tops of her little boots. I should have let her just taken off and gone barefoot. It just seemed like a little too cold yesterday. That's all you need. And the flies are $2.50 a piece. I use my fly rod, a green woolly booger. That was all beadhead woolly booger. I think anything bumping the bottom would have worked. The water was really clear. I mean, really clear. The runs were good. We caught a nice mix of rainbows and browns. We did. We caught 2 or 3 really nice brown trout. Now, it's a put and take. We let all ours go yesterday simply because we didn't, you know, I didn't bring anything to bring anything home with. And in my house, I'm about the only ones that eat them. So I have some already in the freezer that I really need to get out and eat. So we turned all of ours loose. But, it's 5 per person. Go up there. That's something you can do in 3 or 4 hours. Spring break week, be a great time to go up there as a family, pack a picnic lunch, go hiking, sit on the banks of the river, eat your lunch, let the kids fish. Hey, if they don't want to fish, let them play in the water. It's going to be a little cooler this week, but still, hey, you know, they'll warm up in the car. But that's the report for this week. Hopefully I'll have some of these going forward, maybe not every week, but just little things, little trips you can take all across the state that'll get you outside. That's what this show is all about. This is the last segment. I want to cover something here that's a little off the outdoors, but it's being put on by a lot of outdoors people. I have some good friends in Charleston who want to be parents, and they don't want to be parents in the worst way. They're two great people, and I can't imagine wanting a child you've never met. And that just takes, I think it takes more love than just a normal parent does. But it's BJ and Jeremy, and this is the way hunters, fishermen, I'm sure hikers, boaters, you know, when you have a tight group of people who enjoy doing the same thing, they look out for each other and they do things out of the norm. And so this is how this came about. There's a fund started out there for them and their adoption, because adoptions are very expensive. I've talked to several people who have adopted, and it is expensive. So there's a fund out there, and it's a YouCaring. You can find it on Facebook. They have a Facebook page, and that's www.facebook.com/germs, J-E-R-M-S, and BJ Adopt. The YouCaring website is www.youcaring, that's youcaring.com, / Clark Adoption Fund. And it's been started by a bunch of fishermen. So of course, if you're a fisherman out there, now granted, a lot of these are fly fishing trips or fly fishing goods or that sort of thing. But if you're a fisherman, it's set up on a ticket where you go into this YouCaring website and you buy tickets on certain things. And there are some great things out here. I'll just go through this right quick. And like I said, I'm going to mention it here. It's up to you. This is not a tax deductible donation by any stretch of the imagination, but it's just a group of people coming together because, I mean, these two will be great parents, and we're going to try to help them monetarily get to where they can have the family they want. But there are some great things on here. There's three or four Charleston fishing trips, one from Low Country Fly Shop, 2-person half day with Captain Scotty D, who's a sponsor of this show. Kingfisher Guide Service out of Georgetown is giving away a trip. Holy City Fishing Charters, Captain John Fuss, is giving away an inshore shark trip. We have a trip from Stockton, California. If you, for $10, you can put in the entry, and it's a fly fishing trip on the San Joaquin Delta, one of the best largemouth fisheries in the world. There's a trip to the Ozark Sweetwater Fly Fishing. It's a one-day float through either the White River tailwater, North Fork of the White River, Nyangui River, with expert fly fishing guide Jeff Trigg. Largemouth, smallmouth bass fishery, trophy rainbows and browns. There's an Olympic Peninsula Pacific Northwest trip here. And the caption of this one is, "The Week of Spirit Need Not Apply." This is another fly fishing trip. All of these trips have been done. There's 2 days in Key West with Don Gable, KeyWestTarpongGuides.com. There's a trip to Muskie Country Outfitters out of Hayward, Wisconsin. There's a trip to South Island, New Zealand. Now, you got to get there, but for a $20 donation, all you got to do is buy your plane ticket and go to New Zealand. There's a Hopetown, Northern Cape, South Africa trip here. And then there's stuff. There are flies, there are carvings. And I mean flies, like we're not talking two or three. Unless you buy some of those classic Atlantic salmon flies. Some of those have been donated. Those are like wall hangers. But there are packages of 50 flies for this and 50 flies for that. They're trying to raise $25,000. And they're getting there. I think they're about 20% now. They just opened this up to everybody else. This was originally started in Charleston, and it kind of went to the Drake. If you've ever been on the Drake magazine, some of the guys there started it. And they even have some original paintings from Bob White. If you don't know who Bob White is, Google Bob White Studios. And Paul Puckett, the sporting art of Paul Puckett. Those are not on here yet. The organizer's not quite sure, but on May 29th is going to be the drawing for all of this. And it'll be web broadcast and everything. And at that time, they're thinking maybe doing a live auction on some of these original paintings, because these are not paintings you just give away. These are works of art. Anyway, that's youcaring.com/Clark Adoption Fund. That's C-L-A-R-K. Just one of those things that I wanted to put out there. It's fishing, some great trips for a very good cause. As I was researching, I came across a statistic from the National Shooting Sports Foundation that women in the outdoors, female participation in hunting has gone up 10% between 2008 and 2012, from 3 million to 3.35 million, and I'm afraid I have one of those at home. But good going, women. Love to see you out in the outdoors. Guys, we need to pick it up a little bit. We're a little bit in decline, and we need to get those kids out there, get them interested in the outdoors. Even if they're not hunting, just get them outside. Something good I thought would be kind of to end the day. Somebody passed this to me. And, let's see. Let me see if I want to cover something else here. Nah, we'll go with this. Well, I will. I ran across an article, Sleep Problems Plague Device-Dependent Children. And this is one of those things that kind of spurred me to do this show, trying to get kids involved in the outdoors. And what it says here is these kids are so dependent on smartphones, tablets, that a lot of times they check them at night. And something about the light that's in these tablets stimulates something in their brains, and it keeps them up at night. And I've witnessed this with my own girl at home. And it's just one of those things you don't think about, but it was a good tip. Kids need their sleep, and they're saying that a lot of these kids that do these things, they don't get but 6 or 7 hours sleep at night because their mind is just so energized by their tablet or whatever like that. And I don't have anything against tablets. They have a purpose. But I'm just saying, at night, maybe you want to stop the kids from doing this stuff earlier. Let them get ready for bed like we used to when we were growing up. Just something to help them get out, be a little more active in the mornings, and maybe you can use that. But anyway, 40 ways you know you're from South Carolina. Now this is by Genevieve Choate, just a couple of days ago. And it's one of those things when you start reading this and you're from the South, you may be from South Carolina, but may not. Maybe you're from the South. But I love one of them. It says, eating boiled peanuts is an art, and no tailgate's complete without them. Peach season is as important as football. You have bought them from the same man at the same gas station for 20 years. God bless him. P.S. Georgia, we have more than you. Barbecue is mustard-based. The end. Thanksgiving dressing is cornbread-based. The end. Oh, you know your grocery stores to be a front for social clubs. You know, when I was growing up, you know, you ran into everybody in the grocery store, and that's where you caught up on the news in the community. There are four seasons: winter, spring, summer, and college football. Now, here's one, and I'm guilty of this. You're either a Tiger or a Gamecock, and fence riding will not be tolerated. You have to continuously scan and edit professional emails for y'alls. You will forever call your friends, parents, Mr. and Mrs. The look you got for not saying yes, sir, or yes, ma'am as a child is the same look you get from outsiders when you say it as an adult. Cook or clean? Pick one, because when it comes to supper, you're doing one or the other. My wife would argue with that one. And you can say supper. I hear James Taylor in the background. A couple more I'd like to get to. Get out this week. Enjoy the outdoors. Be careful. Don't forget the camera. See you next week. In my mind.